are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The Timberwolves fell to the Dallas Mavericks on Monday night by a final of 139-123. Today, we're going to talk about the high and low points of the game, as well as individual studs and duds. We'll focus quite a bit on the defense and some of the issues the Wolves had on Monday, which, of course, were not unique to Monday's game, but they were really on display in a game when the Wolves didn't have any issues scoring. The defense was just beyond terrible. So we're going to talk a lot about that. We'll, as mentioned, talk about individual performances and who had good games and who didn't. First, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, the last time the Wolves and Mavericks played was near the beginning of the Timberwolves' initial 11-game losing streak. This was back in early December. I think they'd lost two or three to that point. Remember, they had a two-game road trip where they won in Atlanta, won in San Antonio. Everything felt great. And then they had a couple tough road games that were close losses. That included the Mavericks game. They lost by seven. And then it was the last game before the Jordan Bell jersey not tucked in debacle in Oklahoma City. This game was two nights before that. The Wolves took on the Thunder in OKC. That happened. That was kind of the unofficial start of the season sinking skid. When Jordan Bell didn't have his jersey tucked in, they were up two with 1.7 seconds left and Towns at the line, and they somehow lost the game. And then in that Mavs game that preceded the loss in Oklahoma City, the Timberwolves held Luka Doncic to just 22 points and 22 shots. The Mavericks were led in that game by Dwight Powell. Of course, Powell's now out for the season after rupturing his Achilles. And Jalen Brunson led the Mavs off the bench with 16 points. Brunson also missed Monday's game due to injury. And if you look at the box score for the Wolves, they got 26 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists from Karl Anthony Towns. Of course, not available on Monday due to injury. 26 points for Andy Wiggins, who has since been traded to Golden State. Robert Covington started that game. Also, none of the six players who appeared off the bench are with the team anymore. None of them. And actually, of the players available, the eight guys off the bench, seven of them aren't with the team, and the other was Jordan McLaughlin, who, of course, is a two-way player and saw minutes at the backup point guard spot in this game. So of players who appeared in the Mavs game, the players who played in the game against the Mavs last time around in early December and who played in the game against the Mavs this week, only two of the 11 players that appeared in that game appeared in this game for the Timberwolves. That was Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver, who both started. And nobody else played in both games. Most of them aren't even on the team. Jordan Bell, Kata Bates-Diop, Gorgui Dieng, Jeff Teague, Shabazz Napier, Travion Graham, Robert Covington, Andrew Wiggins. Towns was, of course, played in that game and was hurt this time around. And Jordan McLaughlin did not play in that game and did play as the backup point guard in this game behind D'Angelo Russell. So there we are. I mean, that's the reality we're living in. That's the reality the Wolves are living in. At the time, the Wolves were 10-9 coming into that game. They were 7-2 on the road coming into that game, and they only lost by seven. It's actually a game the Wolves were winning headed into the fourth quarter. Minnesota was up by four, and Dallas had a 41-point fourth quarter, which is a perfect segue into Monday's game. Dallas opened Monday's game against the Timberwolves with a 41-point first quarter, backed that up with a 40-point second quarter. Minnesota was down 16 by halftime. The Wolves' offense was great early in the game. It seemed like they couldn't miss from three-point range, but in a similar vein as Sunday's game against Denver, Dallas couldn't miss from three either. The defense was atrocious. There were plenty of free runs to the rim as the Wolves were sloppy on their switches in the pick-and-roll game, oftentimes not understanding what coverage they were playing. We'll get into that here in a minute. The Wolves put Josh Okogie and Luka Doncic, which is obviously the right move. Early in the game, though, I think he maybe underestimated Doncic's first step. The combination of Luka's size and a great first step and enough athleticism and enough shooting ability to keep defenders honest, because Doncic, not only is he crafty and has a great first step, but he can shoot the three, he can get to the rim, and he can finish at the rim. And all those things combined is enough to make him a really tough cover. And I don't know if Okogie underestimated him early or what, but Doncic got some easy buckets early in the game. The Mavs were also able to get the Wolves into a switch where Minnesota, in a couple cases, had a big guarding Doncic, which obviously isn't what you want. I think Naz Reid ended up on him a couple times early. And it just, you know, it didn't work out early for the Timberwolves. Eventually, Okogie buckled down a little bit. He did much better against Doncic as the game went on. The third quarter, we'll get into, I guess, Okogie a little bit later, but third quarter, he did a great job guarding Doncic. He had a big block at the end of the shot clock that was reminiscent of that James Harden block from last year when Okogie knew that Doncic had to shoot it and still met him and was able to meet him at the top and block the shot and force a turnover. But early in the game, it didn't matter. Josh couldn't keep up with Doncic early, and Doncic was really dynamic early in the game as well. The Wolves were led by scoring in the first quarter by James Johnson. I think he had like 12 just in the first quarter. But at the same time, the Wolves were also just kind of they were making threes. Whoever was taking threes was making them. They were still down 41-27 after the first quarter, though, because the defense was so bad. Also, Naz Reid committed two personal fouls in the first minute and like 13 seconds. So he had to go to the bench. Johnson came in and was really good offensively, was able to get to the rim a couple of times on some straight line drives, a couple of back-to-back possessions and kept the Wolves in the game. Then in the second quarter, D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley both went off. And I believe that Beasley had 15 in the quarter or 13 in the quarter. He had four or five three-point attempts made by halftime. The defense was arguably worse in the second quarter, though, and the Wolves were still down 16 at halftime, so they actually lost the quarter by a couple of points. And that was frustrating, but again, the offense was really dynamic, which is what we've been seeing since the trade deadline, even without Towns available in most of these games. The Wolves eventually, they got down by 21, but then a nice push in the third quarter got them within 11 midway through the third, kind of towards the end of the third quarter, but they never got any closer the rest of the game. The Mavericks kind of held the Timberwolves at arm's length. I don't believe the game ever got closer than 11, and I think it was kind of always like a 14-18 point lead for the Mavericks. And they did push it over 20 a couple of times, especially late in the fourth quarter before the Wolves put up a little bit of a fight in garbage time, got some easy buckets and got to the free throw line. There were a ton of free throws in this game. The refs were plenty whistle happy on both sides of the floor. And that was part of the reason for the extremely high score, but the defense was non-existent for the Wolves. And we're going to get into that here in a minute. This was not quite the same as the Denver game or even like the Toronto game from a couple weeks ago. Or even obviously the Wolves beat the Clippers, but, or even the Boston game from last Friday where the Wolves competed and were within a couple of possessions late in the game. This game was really like the Mavs kind of held the Wolves at a double digit deficit for the majority of the game. And it never really felt like Minnesota was in striking distance. So Dallas dominated this game more thoroughly than the Wolves have been dominated really at all recently, which was frustrating. The Wolves still played hard, but this didn't feel like they had a shot like they did in some of these other games against playoff contenders. All right, next up, we're going to really dive into the defense before we get to studs and duds and just talk about what some of the issues were for the Timberwolves in trying to guard the Mavericks in this game. For as good as the Timberwolves were offensively in this game, the defense was, I think I used this word already in the first segment, atrocious is probably the best word to describe it. Overall, since the trade deadline, the Wolves defense has really been bad. Remember, we remarked on this podcast at the All-Star break that the Timberwolves were actually 17th in defensive rating. They'd kind of hovered in that 14-17 range all season. And that was important to note because the Wolves completely shook up the players on the roster and, you know, got rid of their best defensive player in Robert Covington. And also some solid point guard defender in Shabazz Napier. It's just some of those pieces that maybe it wasn't as obvious at the time that they were decent defensive players. And then, you know, D'Angelo Russell has a reputation as a below average defender. Jordan McLaughlin's okay. He's a little undersized. Bringing in guys like Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez, who are both at best average defenders and probably a hair below, especially in Beasley's case. They lost a little bit of size too in sending out Covington, bringing in Beasley. Towns hasn't been playing. And I know Towns individually has had bad defensive numbers this year, but it just goes to show how poor the defense has been of late when you think, man, Towns would really make a difference here. Just his presence in the middle, his length. He's obviously the biggest guy the Wolves have. Naz Reid, James Johnson, those guys are 6'8"-ish, maybe 6'9", with good wingspans, but they're not Karl-Anthony Towns, who's 6'11", with a very good wingspan. and active. And even when he's a hair late on his rotations, there's still a presence there. And we're at the point now where that presence would actually make a big difference. Or for instance, a Gorgui Dieng. I mean, he was arguably the Timberwolves' second best defensive player. I guess maybe third if you include Covington, Josh Okogie, in the first half of the season when Gorgui got his opportunities. And we saw just how good the Wolves' defense was when Towns was out. And that, in my opinion, was almost as much to do with Gorgui Dieng's defensive ability and his know-how, especially in the pick-and-roll game, as it did with Karl-Anthony Towns not being a good defender. Towns has struggled defensively, to be sure. Gorgui Dieng's a good defender, and he knows what he's doing. In the pick-and-roll game, he talks, he's long, he has good anticipation. He actually got a high number of steals for a big man. And now the Wolves are running out an undrafted rookie in Naz Reid, who frankly doesn't have great defensive awareness. Even though he's pretty quick and he's nimble and he can block some shots, he's not as big as Towns or Gorgui Dieng, and he's certainly not as experienced, and he doesn't anticipate as well as those guys. So I think that all that matters, and it plays into it for sure. Remember, the Wolves were 17th in defensive rating just a couple of weeks ago. They're now 20th in the league in defensive rating, and they're the worst in the league in defensive rating since the All-Star break, or excuse me, in opponent's points per game since the All-Star break, probably defensive rating too. They're now 27th overall in opponent's points per game on the season, giving up just under 117 points a game. They're 13th now in points per game, but they're only 22nd in offensive points per game. They're 22nd in offensive rating now this season. So they're in the bottom 10 in both categories, both ends of the floor and on the offensive and defensive rating. The issues in this game were, obviously we talked about guarding Luka Doncic. That's not unusual. I mean, most teams do struggle to guard him. He actually ended up not having a great game statistically. It was okay. He had 20 points on 7 of 16 shooting. He was only 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 turnovers, a couple of steals. And he only played 25 minutes. He didn't need to play much in the fourth quarter. But early in the game, the Wolves struggled to guard Doncic. It got better as the game went on. So that was kind of the start of it. And Doncic is really good in the pick and roll game. Generally makes smart decisions, although he can be goaded into shooting some deep threes. And while he's a good 3-point shooter, he's not a sharp shooter. And I think you'd rather have him shooting from 3-4 feet beyond the arc with a little bit of a contest than barreling towards the rim with a head of steam. But as the game continued, the Wolves didn't get better defensively. Although they did a better job on Doncic, their switches in the pick and roll weren't as crisp. A lot of times if the Wolves fought through a screen, which didn't happen enough, but the guy guarding the ball handler in a lot of cases, Jordan McLaughlin, was trailing the ball handler to the rim with no help defense waiting, and it led to mostly open layups. In the second half, we had some of the same issues, but a lot of times players weren't quite playing the same coverage. Jim Peterson did a great job on Fox Sports North of pointing out one play when Naz Reid looked as though he was going to switch onto the ball handler. I don't remember who it was. I think it might have been Seth Curry. And didn't fully switch onto him. And then when McLaughlin, I think it was, tried to get back and guard him, he didn't get back in time. And basically the Wolves had three guys in no man's land. And Curry got a free run to the rim. Reed didn't actually switch onto him. He didn't actually guard his guy. He just kind of hung out. The Wolves didn't, they kind of stuck to guarding shooters on the perimeter. The help defenders did. And it was pretty much just the guy with the ball on the Mavericks going to the rim, and then McLaughlin trailing him to the rim and not being able to do anything about it. And then the Wolves also had issues. So that cover, it wasn't clear what Naz Reid was doing. If he was supposed to be switching or supposed to be staying home on his guy, he didn't do either. The other issue that happened almost on consecutive possessions in the second half, and both times with Jarrett Culver, Culver was ready to ice the pick and roll on the side of the floor. It happened once on either side of the floor where Culver was ready to ice, which is, of course, the coverage the Wolves played consistently under Tom Thibodeau, but they still use it as part of their arsenal. And switching up pick and roll coverage is something that's key to keeping defense or offenses guessing. And he was the only guy ready to ice. There was nobody there. There was no big man there to help him. There was no help on the backside. And so essentially you're jumping to ice the pick and the entire opposite side of the floor. So you're icing to the, you know, to try and force him baseline, but then there's nobody on the baseline to trap him. There's nobody to step in the paint to take a charge or block a shot. And it's another free run to the rim that happened twice where the Mavericks got easy baskets because the Wolves were confused on their coverage. And more likely than not, it was Culver who got it wrong. You could actually see David Vanterpool talking to Culver about it after one of those plays on the sideline, just kind of pulling him aside, even while the action was still live, and probably telling him, hey, you guys got to talk about what coverage you're playing, or perhaps he was just wrong and they weren't even supposed to be icing at that juncture in the game if he was the only guy trying to do it. And so it's silly things like that, that on the one hand are super frustrating, but on the other hand, I guess maybe gives a little bit of glimmer of hope, because you're looking at a bunch of rookies on the floor, Jarrett Culver, Naz Reid, Jordan McLaughlin. A couple of those guys are undrafted rookies who are making silly mistakes, but it's not because they're not talented enough necessarily. It's because they haven't figured this out yet. They haven't figured out the talking on defense. They haven't figured out, it's just something that should be easily fixable. And you did see there were some moments where even D'Angelo Russell defensively was asking his teammates to talk, was trying to get them more verbal. Same with James Johnson, who you'd expect it from for sure. But the Wolves need guys like Josh Okogie. It's only a second year, but I mean, he's still one of the elder statesmen on the team now. He's the only guy left over from the Thibodeau regime that's not named Karl-Anthony Towns, or I guess the only guy that Thibodeau acquired that's still on the team, in Josh Okogie. And he's been with the team. He's a good defensive player. He's a really good one-on-one defensive player. He needs to take some responsibility and talk and get the guys going defensively. And David Vanterpool needs some time to implement his defensive system. But it's silly mistakes like that that really hurt the Timberwolves in this game. Just these open layups after open layup, because the pick and roll coverage either wasn't crisp or it wasn't consistent. Guys didn't know what they were supposed to be doing. And against a team like the Mavericks that can just run pick and roll until the end of the game, I mean, you know, every possession down the floor if they want to, and be successful with a guy like Luka Doncic, with shooters like Seth Curry, with enough dynamic players, and even JJ Bray in the pick and roll is difficult to guard. And he had a good game. Minnesota really couldn't check him. The Wolves are going to have issues if they can't figure out how to guard the pick and roll. And it's not like Karl-Anthony Towns has been great when he's put in pick and rolls this year either. He's had some issues making decisions and being a step slow on whatever coverage he's playing. But that was the biggest issue in this game for the Wolves. And that's what led to the Mavericks getting an easy 139 points in this game. All right, next up, we're going to talk studs and duds individually for the game before we put a bow on it and look ahead to the rest of the week. Minnesota got some pretty impressive individual performances in this game. We'll start with, let's start with Malik Beasley. I'm not going to give him a stud, but I think we should talk about his performance. He got unbelievably hot in the second quarter. I think pretty much only the second quarter. He scored most of his 21 points. He made something like 4 threes in a row, had a couple of easy buckets near the rim on some nice cuts. Finished with 21 points, but it took him 20 shots to get there. He was 5 of 12 from beyond the arc. He wasn't efficient enough, and he only had 4 rebounds and 1 assist and a team high 35 minutes. And that's part of his MO, is he hasn't done enough otherwise in the box score to be a truly impactful star type player. He's getting the opportunity in Minnesota. The 5 of 12 from 3, we talked about this after he was 2 for 5 in Sunday's game against Denver. He needs to be shooting 10 to 12 three-pointers a game. I mean, he's a 40% three-point shooter. He will be if he shoots that many threes. So that part of the game was awesome for him. But he was 3 of 8 inside the arc and 0 of 2 at the free throw line. He only got there once, missed both shots, and only had the 4 rebounds. So he was hot enough for a period of the game, 5 of 12 from 3. He can't be a dud, but he wasn't quite efficient enough or contributing in enough areas to be a stud for this game. But again, showing flashes and showing what's in there with him. And I would be shocked if he wasn't around next season. I think the Wolves are going to do what they can to keep him and try and develop him defensively, develop him as a rebounder, help him, be more than a catch and shoot guy, although he's a really dynamic catch and shoot guy and has the right mentality, the right demeanor on the court. He's the sort of guy that the Wolves are going to want on this team moving forward, to be sure. I also want to mention, not a stud or a dud, but Jake Lehman got his first action in 41 games. He wasn't, I remember the Wolves said on like Thursday of last week, he'd be reevaluated in a week. I wonder how much of this has to do with being a bit shorthanded. Alan Crabb still wasn't available due to personal reasons. And Lehman, he played okay. He played 13 minutes. He was on a minutes restriction of around 12. He finished with 5 points, 3 rebounds, was 2 of 7 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3-point range. He did have a really nice cut at one point where he cut directly to the basket, got a bounce pass from D'Angelo Russell, and showed his quick ups, not just that he can jump high, but his quick jumping ability. Got a dunk and an and one, missed the free throw. He was a +3 in his 13 minutes, but it was just 2 of 7 from the floor and 1 of 4 from beyond beyond the arc. So 5 points, 3 rebounds. Good to see Lehman on the court again. And here's hoping that that minutes restriction gets lifted here pretty soon, and he gets to play a little bit with D'Angelo Russell, with Karl Anthony Towns, if Malik Beasley. The Wolves hopefully can give him some minutes at the four. Maybe he'll even start some at the four moving forward and see how he fits between Towns and Malik Beasley on the wing as a cutter, as a shooter, as a transition piece, and a solid team defender as well. So good to see Lehman back on the court. Again, not a stud, not a dud. Just wanted to mention that. Okay, in terms of studs, D'Angelo Russell best player on the floor for the Wolves in this game was either D'Angelo Russell or James Johnson. We'll start with Russell. He had 29 points, 10 of 20 shooting, 3 of 8 from 3-point range. He was 6 of 6 at the free throw line. 5 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal, 2 turnovers. The 5 assists and 3 rebounds are a little bit low in 31 minutes for D'Angelo, but the 3 of 8 from 3 is good. The 10 of 20 from the field is good. The 6 of 6 from the free throw line, he's been attempting free throws at a higher rate as a Minnesota Timberwolf than he had previously, really, in his career. And remember that free throw rate was actually up this season, too. So he is, the forays into the paint are increasing a little bit for D'Lo, and that's important. He's been known as kind of a guy who's comfortable pulling up from mid-range and not getting all the way to the rim, trying to avoid some contact. There was one play in this game. He pulled up on the baseline. He had a free lane to the rim and pulled up for what was kind of a tough mid-range jumper that rimmed out. And he's a really good mid-range jump shooter, and so him shooting mid-range jumpers is different than Andrew Wiggins shooting mid-range jumpers. But in this particular case, he should have gone all the way to the rim. But he did make 2 or 3 tough shots in traffic. He got to the free throw line 3 different times, made all of his free throws, and was generally really good in this game. He was okay on defense, too, in a game where the Wolves struggled as a team. He ended up only being -1 in 31 minutes. So a good game overall from D'Lo. Also, James Johnson, we mentioned he had 12 points in the first quarter, finished with 19 points, 5 rebounds, 6 of 9 shooting, didn't force as many shots as he did in recent games. He did have 3 turnovers. He at one point dribbled the ball off his foot out of bounds. So there's a little bit of that where he tries to do a little bit too much and maybe taking on the role of a playmaker on a team that needs playmakers with the number of injuries that they have, and taking on that role of playmakers maybe a little bit much for him at times. But he did have the 5 rebounds in 24 minutes, a couple of blocks and an assist. Good game overall from James Johnson. He was a +4 in 24 minutes as well. So that was good to see. Also, the third stud I'm going to give to Keelan Martin. The two-way player had, remember, he had 21 against Denver, 19 of the 21 in the first half, just 24 hours earlier in Denver. This game, he had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and only 15 minutes, 4 of 6 shooting, 1 of 3 beyond the arc, although that make was a three-quarters court buzzer beater at the end of the game. Which didn't matter, but brought the Wolves within 16. He was also 2-2 at the free throw line, was a +3 in 15 minutes, and generally was solid. He was okay defensively. There were stretches where he ended up on Doncic on switches and things like that, and had a pretty good game. So that's back-to-back solid performances from Keelan Martin, and he's definitely going to be a part of this rotation moving forward. It's possible that even when Allen Crabbe gets back from whatever his absence is, that he loses some minutes because of Jake Lehman's return and Keelan Martin's somewhat of an emergence from him as well. So we'll see moving forward. Duds for this game, we're going to give one to Naz Reid after only playing 22 minutes on Sunday in Denver due to foul trouble. He picked up 2 fouls in the first minute plus of this game. He didn't commit any other fouls the rest of the game, but he only had 6 points, 5 rebounds, didn't score until the second half, had 2 points until garbage time, and 2 of 10 shooting from the floor, really struggled around the rim. Generally, he's got really good touch and feel on offense, and that's not an issue, but he had some bad luck. Defensively, he ended up with 3 blocks, but he struggled defensively, quite frankly. His feel isn't there on defense like it is on offense. He wasn't always sure what coverage to be in, and while he's fairly quick for his size and has good length, the anticipation isn't quite there on defense either. So he simply needs more reps. I mean, there was a reason he was an undrafted rookie. He's got tons of upside, and especially offensively, but there's also some defensive upside there too if he can understand how to play in the NBA and some of these different concepts. So that is something that we'll need to keep an eye on for Naz moving forward. The second dud we're going to give to Juancho Hernan Gomez. He only had 8 points and 4 rebounds, 2 of 5 shooting, so it's not like he was inefficient, but it was like he wasn't there. He didn't do much in this game. He only attempted 1 3-point shot, which the Wolves need him to be shooting more from deep. He's been shooting the ball really well from there. He needs to get up more shots. He played 25 minutes and only attempted 5 shots in a game with no Karl-Anthony Towns. And the Wolves need more than 8 points and 4 rebounds out of Juancho. He was a minus 31 for the game, which was a team worst. So that was pretty disappointing as well. Okay defensively, which is his MO, but he needs to get involved more on offense. That's partly on the Wolves and their offensive structure, but also on Juancho. He needs to find a way to get shots up and to be involved in the offense. All right, the Wolves will be back in action on Wednesday. They'll be taking on the Miami Heat in Miami. Remember, the Wolves beat Miami in like the third game of the season, I think, second game of the season, with no Jimmy Butler available for the Heat back when the Wolves were a pleasant surprise. I was back at Target Center. This time around, Butler should be available. They're playing in Miami on Wednesday night. That's a 6:30 p.m. Central tip, so we will be previewing that game on Wednesday and, of course, talk about it on Thursday after it happens. Then the rest of the week for the Wolves, after the Miami game on Wednesday, they have Orlando on Friday at Orlando before coming home to face the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday, March 1st, and then they go right back out on the road for a game next Tuesday. So no back-to-backs in the foreseeable future, the next week and a half, 2 weeks for the Wolves, but tough games, road games against more playoff teams in Miami, in Orlando, and then home for Dallas the rest of the week. So we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll talk about whatever Wolves news comes up between now and then, and of course, be back Wednesday to preview the game against the Heat. That's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the podcast. Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And if you feel so inclined, please help us out with a pleasant review on Apple, as that does help us get more listeners in the fold here at Locked On Wolves. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.